I would like to thank you that anything that is said on this call that gives any outlook for the future or which can be construed as forward-looking statement must be viewed in conjunction with the risk and uncertainties that we face. This risk and uncertainties are included but not limited to what we have mentioned in the prospectus filed with the SEBI and subsequent annual report, which you can find it on our website. Having said that, I will now hand over the call to Srini. Over to you, Srini.
Thanks, Asha. Ladies and gentlemen, good evening. Welcome to eClerx's earnings call for Q2 FY24. We reported robust top line and bottom line performance in Q2 with revenues of 87.6 million, up 4.4% quarter on quarter, both in USD as well as in constant currency terms. Total INR revenue for the quarter was 7,359 million, up 6.4% quarter on quarter. Revenue performance was complemented by an equally strong performance on the margin front. EBITDA for Q2 was 2,189 million, up 25% sequentially. And the EBITDA percentage was 29.7%, up 445 bips quarter on quarter. Net profit for the quarter was 1,360 million, up 28% sequentially and at 18.5% margin. Our financial markets and customer operations businesses were the key contributors for the strong top-line performance in this quarter. With onshore wins in the former and offshore wins in the latter, driving much of the growth. Delivery costs in this quarter were largely flat, resulting in the margin boost. There are small increases in utilization and onshore revenue in this quarter. Exit headcount is up by 600 people from the previous quarter's exit. Attrition is marginally up from the previous quarter, but well below the usual percentages that we see. Outlook for Q3 is positive. We expect to show sequential growth. However, macro and economic uncertainties still prevail. Our clients' budgets for CY24 are being firmed up, and so our view of Q4 will solidify over the next few weeks. In the previous earnings call, we had mentioned that full-year EBITDA margin may be below the lower end of the 28 to 32% range. Given the strong margin performance in Q2, we are revising this view, and we now expect full-year EBITDA percentage to be within the stated range. With this, we come to the end of our opening remarks. We can now move on to the Q&A. Asha, over to you.
Thank you, Srini. We'll wait for a moment. I think we have Nikhil Chaudhary from Edelweiss. Nikhil, I have unmuted your line. Please go ahead.
Hey, hi, Srini. Hi, Kapil. Thanks for the opportunity and congratulations on a very strong set of numbers. So first question is regarding the growth. Like you mentioned, growth rebounded much more stronger than our expectation. Can you highlight it? What led to such strong outperformance? Any particular segment, sub-segment where you saw better than expected growth? And then I have a follow-up on margin, Srini. What you even highlighted, that quarter two margin were stronger than expected. So even there, what led to surprise and what was our initial expectation?
Yeah. So I'll cover the margin question and then I will redirect to Kapil for the growth. So on the margin, the delivery costs are flat because there's been a change in the mix in the people offshore. So the growth in delivery headcount has been largely at the bottom of the pyramid. The second reason is that you can see that the headcount in tech has reduced, and that's a result of planned streamlining of bench, which has happened over the last two quarters in Q1 and Q2. And both these factors have contributed to the flat delivery costs. I'll hand over to Kapil for commentary on growth.
Thanks, Srini. Hi, Nikhil. Like Srini mentioned in his opening remarks, the growth came predominantly from financial markets and our customer service operations. And where we are doing on the financial markets on the compliance and regulatory side, and the customer operations was areas that we service our clients in.
Very helpful. Just one more question regarding the strong headcount addition. What you mentioned that you'd be able to comment better on the client demand after seeing their budget allocation. But given the strong hiring, just want to understand, is it based on the already, you know, wins you have or the based on your pipeline?
Yeah, so just to clarify my comments, I think we said that we will show sequential growth in Q3. So Q3, we are fairly confident about. I mentioned that we will have greater clarity on Q4, maybe a few weeks down the line.
Sure, very helpful. That's it from my side. Thank you.
Thank you, Nikhil. We have next question from the line of Hitesh Arora from Unifi. Hitesh, please go ahead. Hitesh, you need to unmute yourself. I think maybe next question we'll take from the line of Mihir Manohar. He's from Carnelian. Mihir, please go ahead.
For giving the opportunity and congratulations on good set of numbers. I mean, quite good set of numbers in this environment. Sir, you mentioned on the financial market side, capital markets, compliance driving the growth. So if you can throw some more light as to what are the changes which have happened on the compliance side, which is driving your growth. And given the fact that if there are structural changes, I mean, should we consider a similar kind of growth continuing at the company level for 3Q, 4Q? That will be helpful because you know how important this change is to understand. That will be useful. My second question was on, you know, I mean, Mr. After Mr. Kapil Jain joining in, is there any structural changes or any sales team augmentation or a delivery structure improvisation that has happened? Just wanted to understand around that. That will be really helpful. And my third question was just on the proof of concepts. I mean, you know, 32 proof of concepts you were working, out of which two went commercial last quarter. I mean, is there any more update over there, any more commercialization happening? And, you know, just to understand quantum also, I mean, what is the quantum of commercialization that is happening? That will also be helpful. So those were the questions.
Sure. Kapil, do you want to take these three questions? On Gen AI and the other on CLC, and I forget what the third one was.
Structural changes.
Yes.
So I think the structural changes at this stage, we are not planning to make any structural changes. We will be investing in sales for growth. And I am planning to present my plan to the board, and some aspects of it we will share with you in Q4, as we had indicated earlier. So that's on the structural changes. On the client life cycle and KYC, we are seeing the demand on the compliance area. I think your question was Q3, Q4. Like Srini said, we are cautiously optimistic that we would be able to show a sequential growth in Q3. Q4, given the current volatility in the market and geopolitical risks, I think we should be in a position to tell you during our next call. In terms of Gen AI, I think the number of active discussions have increased. We are in 55 active discussions. And most of the area are in content operations, care ops, and insights on demand. And we are building domain-specific IP on top of our foundation models. We are also creating a customer advisory board where we are bringing some of our client executives on from the technology side. And we are investing in training as well as enabling our people ready on Gen AI. So these are some of the things that we are doing on the same.
Sure. That's helpful. And just lastly, on the digital marketing side in Europe, I mean, how is the situation now over there? Because previously, the digital marketing piece in Europe was facing challenges. So, I mean, you know, how is the luxury brand performing over there? That we will.
So I think on luxury brand, as you would see, like some of our key clients did not post a very robust results. And I think there was a lot of pent up demand post pandemic, which saw extraordinary growth in that segment. I think the normal is coming back. There is always a lag between when our clients' growth is declining versus where we see cautious. So I think we are cautious on the luxury segment side in terms of what we are seeing with our clients, the new normal, which is getting set up.
Sure. So yeah, that's it from my side. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mir. Next question is from the line of Sandeep Shah from Equirius. Sandeep, please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks for the opportunity. I think in the initial remarks, we said the client's CY24 IT budgets have been finalized, but we may take some couple of weeks to get a view on the fourth quarter of this financial year. So any early indication how the client's IT budgets are shaping up?
Sandeep, I mentioned that the budgets are being finalized. So we don't have a very well-formed view as of yet. But I think in the next few weeks, we should be able to give some kind of opinion.
Okay. And a question to Kapil, sir. Sir, I think eClerks, despite a strong operational capabilities and the delivery capabilities, as well as rich client base, the issue in the past being roll-off impacting the growth opportunities. So is there any strategy to reduce the impact of the roll-off by way of increasing the deal pipeline or in terms of augmenting the sales and marketing team, which helps us to create a stronger pipeline, stronger deal wins, which may actually compensate and keep the growth rate consistent or in line with the industry for a longer period of time, maybe over 3 to 5 years?
Sandeep, absolutely. That's the plan. Like you said, to invest in sales and marketing. Some of the roll-offs happen because of the nature of work, which is more consultative-led. Typically, these projects are short-term. So that's part and parcel of our business, and we are working towards to see how we can strengthen our pipeline so that we could give growth in line with the industry growth over a medium to long-term horizon.
Okay. So will that, in pursuit of that objective, is it fair to say we may be open to slightly compromised margin in the near term, but that may give us a growth opportunity and sustainability of growth over a longer period of time?
So Sandeep, we will, like I said, I would be presenting my plan to the board in Q4, and some snippets of it we will be in a position to share with you after we have presented the plan to the board, and we'll have to strike a balance between growth and margins to see in terms of so that we are delivering value to the shareholders.
Okay. And last question to Srini, sir. Generally, Q3, Q4 margins are most in line or better versus the Q2 margin. So whether same trend can be expected even in this year, and any status update in terms of SEZ policy on work from office as a whole?
So the SEZ work from home has been extended till 31st of December 24, so next year. On Q3, Q4 margin, we think it will be broadly similar. Maybe a little up, little down, but hopefully broadly in line with what we've been able to do in Q2.
Oh, thanks. Thanks and congratulations on a strong execution in this report.
Thanks, Sandeep.
Thank you, Sandeep. Next question comes from the line of Hitesh Arora from Unify. Hitesh, please go ahead.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. So could you delve a little deeper into the financial services and the customers ops growth? Is it something more structural here? Is it just sort of one of those more trading activity linked? If you could kindly delve a little more, and similarly on the customer ops side.
So it's not linked to higher trading activity, Hitesh. It is with respect to compliance and KYC, which is a strong offering from us, as well as on the customer operation side. It is the, in terms of our strong delivery, is where we are seeing the growth. It's not related to any event-led growth.
My point is this something that we can think that this growth trend sustains?
So Hitesh, like I said, we are cautiously optimistic, and Q3, should be able to deliver a sequential growth. Given the overall volatility in the market, I think it's a little difficult to predict what the Q4 would be, and we would be in a position to tell you in our next earnings call or as soon as we have some visibility.
Sure. Any commentary on the other parts of the business, if you could give? How were things there?
I think, like I said, on the luxury I spoke about, high tech, I think, has been a little tepid in the last, I think, a year and a half to 2 years. And I think they continue to be cautious. See, the overall macroeconomic environment is volatile, and hence clients are also being cautious in terms of how they are planning the spend, and they're also not making, like, in terms of discretionary spend continues to be on a on high visibility and watch.
Thank you, Hitesh.
Next question comes from the line of Ayush Bansal. He's from MK Global. Ayush, please go ahead.
Hi, am I audible?
Yes.
I just had a couple of questions. Like in emerging clients, it grew 3% sequentially in Q2 and it declined around 1% in Q1. So how do we look at it going forward? What is the thought process there?
So let me take that. So I think our view has been to try and grow this over a longer period of time. Just in the medium term, we would expect these numbers to move up. I think quarter to quarter, it is hard to draw inferences based on any single quarter of movement. So we are working towards growing all parts of the business, especially with a focus on small clients. But I think variations in quarters in the short term is likely to happen.
Okay, got it. And do you expect any seasonality in Q3 in certain parts of your portfolio?
No.
Got it. Thank you.
Thank you, Ayush. We have next question from the line of Nitish Rege. Nitish, please go ahead. Also, I would request you to mention your firm's name, plus, please. Nitish, you need to unmute yourself.
Yeah, am I audible?
Yeah.
This is Nitish Rege from Chris Capital. My questions are for Kapil, sir. So how do you see the Gen AI impacting us based on whatever we're seeing in the initial days? This is my first question.
So Nitish, I think it's like, in terms of, we are seeing small projects. I think clients are also grappling in terms of what use cases they would want to work on. While there is a lot of hype as well as in terms of what has been built around, but the use cases on which it will be deployed, like I mentioned, we are working in the area of content operations, care ops, and insights on demand. There may be some impact, but we are not shying away, because I think we want to be ahead given our domain as well as prowess on the tech side as well as on the ops side. So I hope it answers your question.
Okay, sir. And just another one. Now that we have like more than 900 crores of cash, what is the capital allocation plan? We've also hired a head of M&A recently. So is there any M&A activity or anything you're assessing right now? And which kind of space will we be looking at?
We would be looking for synergistic opportunities in areas where we have capability, as well as the valuation has to be the right one.
PD, did you want to add anything to that?
Yeah.
We can't hear you, actually.
No, PD, we can't hear.
Is this better?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, sorry. So I think Kapil has made exactly the right point. I think capital allocation policy continues to be that if there is an attractive acquisition opportunity, the funds are available for that. In the absence of that, we will continue to maintain distributions as we have done in the past. I think one thing we do expect to change is a more proactive approach in terms of trying to source good deal flow and good assets that might fit in with the overall corporate strategy of the firm. which is why we have also made investments, as you noted, internally in resources, so that we can have a more proactive approach of going out, scanning the market and trying to unearth opportunities more predictably than just be reliant on incoming teasers.
Oh, got it, sir. Thank you. That's all from my side.
Thank you, Nitesh. We have next question from the line of Shraddha Agarwal from MSET. Shraddha, please go ahead.
Am I audible?
Yeah.
Yeah. So sorry if I'm repeating some questions because I logged in late. So just wanted to get your sense on the deal pipeline. How are the sales cycle and deal conversion cycle looking like now? Because earlier you had indicated about some slowdown in deal conversion.
So Shraddha, overall pipeline continues to be in the same vein in terms of, so there's no significant change in the overall pipeline. I think, like I said, given the overall visibility we have, Q3, we are cautiously optimistic. Q4, we would give a view closer to the date and like as we get, as we move forward. And in terms of conversion cycles, they stay the same in terms of what we had indicated. There has been no remarkable change from what we said, what we had said earlier.
And secondly, in terms of margin progression, so are we expecting better margins in the second half versus what we've seen in 2Q, or how are we looking at the margins going into 3Q and 4Q?
I would think broadly in the same range, a little up, little down. I don't think we are saying that it will continue to go up. We'll have to see how that works out.
Right, right. And so structurally, how should we now look at our margins going into 25? Would we be requiring, I mean, would it be required to make more investment into sales, or how should we look at the new margin profile of the company under Mr. Kapil Jain now?
So I think that a lot depends on the plan that Kapil presents to the board. But as he has said, I think the intention is to boost growth, and therefore there will be some investments in the onshore sales team. And maybe that will lead to some trade-off in margin. How much I'm unable to quantify now, but there will be some downward impact to margins.
Great. Okay. That's it from my side. Thank you.
Thank you, Shraddha. Next is we have follow-up question from Sandeep Shah from Aquarius. Sandeep, please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the follow-up opportunity. Any color in terms of a demand shaping up in the cable and wireless segment?
Sandeep, like I said, in the cable and wireless segment, the demand continues to be in the area in which we are servicing our clients. And our delivery continues to be robust, which is why we are seeing the increase which we saw in the Q2 in the customer operation.
Okay, okay. So in that scenario, is it fair to assume the demand is good in almost BFSI and customer operation or cable or wireless kind of a segment, which, if I'm not wrong, close to 60-65% of the revenue? And one third of the segment may slightly be cautious in terms of a demand.
At this stage, what you've said is right. However, like I said, the clients are also looking at quarter on quarter, given the interest rate volatility, geopolitical risk, and many other factors which are playing. So yes, currently financial markets and CO, we can expect what you've indicated.
And sir, just a follow-up, in terms of fourth quarter outlook, is it fair to say, is there any customer-specific issue or in terms of any roll-offs which we anticipate where it does not give us a confidence about visibility as of now, or it's more to do with the macro uncertainty and that's where we are slightly been not able to give an outlook for the fourth quarter?
Sandeep, it is the latter.
The latter.
Okay, okay. And last question on Gen AI. In the first phase of adoption, do you believe there would be additional spend even with a vendor like eClerx, where clients' help would be required from the vendors in terms of creating a large language model, doing data engineering, data testing? And in the second phase of adoption, there could be some more revenue cannibalization led impact. Is it right way of looking at it? How to see this adoption journey from the client side on a journey?
Yes, Sandeep, I think that's the right way to look at it. However, the phase one that you described, where we will see some demand and spend, these projects are typically small in size, but that's the flow it'll follow. And we are hiring in three different streams: ML researchers, business analyst, and as well as the implementation team.
Okay. Thanks, and all the best.
Thanks, Sandeep.
Thank you, Sandeep. We have next question from the line of Arvind Chetty. Arvind, please go ahead. Also, I would request you to mention your firm's name. Arvind, you need to unmute yourself.
This is Arvind from Diamond Asia Capital. My question is more on the headcount addition. For the last few quarters, we've seen, you know, headcount sort of growing in line with our revenue, or vice versa. Is that a fair assumption that for the next few quarters, given the uncertainty, that's how it should pan out? So our headcount and revenue growth should be correlated for next few quarters?
Largely, that has been the case, because technology is a smaller part of our business. A large part of it is operations. So, and the BPaaS portion of it, where we are pricing on fixed price, is about, let's say, 25% of the business. So the majority is FTE based. So it will grow largely in line with revenue.
Great to know that. So to that extent, given the headcount that we have had this quarter, so Q3 could be very similar to what Q2 growth was, or maybe only slightly lower. And then Q4, we will see if we have to add headcount. Is that a right way to look at the business?
It's a fair assumption, I would think.
Great. That answers my question. Thank you.
Thank you, Arvind. I would request participants to, as a reminder, to raise their hands for asking any questions if you all have. We'll wait for a moment for participants to raise hands, otherwise we'll close. We have follow-up question from the line of Arvind Chetty. Arvind, please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking the question again. So we'll be making investments in sales going forward. Do we anticipate growth to accelerate next year onwards? And because we'll be augmenting our sales, and I guess that should be the thought process, right?
So Arvind, like Srini mentioned, yes, we would be investing in sales. And given the current environment, I think we continue to hire, and we will be bringing more salespeople. In terms of the growth, as you know, there would be some lag between the time we would make the investments in sales and when the growth will happen, and also is a function of the overall market. But we would be well poised given our delivery capability, strong set of clients, and investments that we would have made in sales to capture the demand as and when the market conditions are more certain, as well as on the back of investments that we would have made.
Got it. And would we expect FY25 to be better than what FY24 is going on?
I wish, Arvind, I could have given you that answer. I think it depends on many factors which are beyond our control in terms of, and it's a very forward-looking statement in terms of what the outlook would be in FY25. We don't have a 2020 vision of on 20 Q4 of 24. So FY24 5 is little distant away.
Great. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you, Arvind. We have next question from the line of Nitish Rere. Nitish, please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. So based on client meetings or from whatever, just from based on client meetings, what is the low-hanging fruit in terms of mining, considering we have a we have such a strong client roster?
So, Nitish, I think basis whatever I've spoken to the clients and have met some of our large clients, I think they continue to give a thumbs up on our strong delivery, our agility, speed of response, and the domain and technology that we bring to the table. So it's not like there are some low-hanging fruits or something, but I think we are working and in discussion with a lot of our clients to see where the opportunities are and where we could potentially create the pipeline and hence the growth as well.
Okay, and just again on Gen AI, do you see anything to worry about in terms of the extent of revenue deflation we can see from this?
No, not at this stage.
Okay, okay. Yeah, that's all. Thank you.
Thank you, Nitish. We have next follow-up question from line of Sandeep Shah. Sandeep, please go ahead.
Yeah, just a bookkeeping. If I look at the average hedge rate for the last three quarters has been 83 to 84, and this time it's upwards of 84. But when I look at the realized rate for the quarter versus the spot average rate, it's still lagging the realized rate versus the spot average. So when do you expect this to reverse, looking at the current outstanding hedge position? And this may be a tailwind on the margin. Is it fair to say going forward?
Yeah, I'll take that. So if you look at the hedge updates, I think you will see that somewhere around Q4, if the current exchange rate stays, that's when we would expect that to reverse.
Okay. So by Q4, if spot rate remains, it could be a tailwind on the margin.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. And just a last question to Kapil, sir. In terms of strategy and investment in sales and marketing, is it fair to say we may even think to diversify beyond the current industry verticals as well as service offerings? Or we believe the opportunity untapped is still bigger in the existing verticals and services? Our focus would be to invest in those domains rather than diversifying beyond the current domain.
So Sandeep, in short term, the focus would be to take the existing set of capabilities, and in medium to long term, we will evaluate and look at in terms of new capabilities that we will have to build to stay relevant for our clients.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you, Sandeep. Reminder to participants to raise their hands in case of any questions. Participants, will wait for just one more minute. If no questions, then we'll close the call. I think as there are no further questions, I would ask management for closing comments.
Okay. Thank you everyone for joining the call. We'll see you again with the Q3 results. Happy Diwali to everyone.
Thank you everyone. This ends eClerx call. Happy Diwali to everyone.